Christ is risen for all mankind. Jeff and the team, what a beautiful song. What a beautiful anointing on that song this morning. That takes us right to the place of where Jesus was crucified. But not only of where he was crucified, but also where he rose from the dead. And when he ascended on high, went and sent us the Comforter, the Parakletos, the come alongside, the Holy Spirit. It's Good Friday. We're in the Gospel of John this morning, chapter 19. I'm going to read verses 28 and 30, pick up from where my two daughters left off in the scripture. Later, knowing that everything had now been finished, and so that scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I am thirsty." A jar of vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of the hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Let us pray. Lord, as we gather together as your people on this Good Friday, I pray our hearts would be open to you more this morning in a very real and life-giving way, in a relational way. I pray for every listener of the sermon this morning that you would anoint their ears and their hearts to hear and receive and put into action the truths of Scripture. I pray for myself, Lord, the preacher of your word, that you would anoint me. I humble myself before you and ask, Lord, that you would use my words this morning from your word. They're not my words, they're your words to bring life. In Jesus' name, amen. Good Friday. Good Friday is actually a difficult day. Good Friday is actually a very complex day in the Holy Week. The day begins in the early hours of the morning as Christ's trial is getting underway. Peter denies Jesus three times before the rooster crowed, just like Jesus said it would happen. Also early that morning, tragically, Judas Iscariot, the disciple who betrayed Jesus, was so overcome with guilt that he hung himself. Good Friday, a complex day. Good Friday, much went down on that Good Friday. Why is it called Good Friday? Perhaps I could offer you this explanation this morning. Friday of the Holy Week is called Good Friday because without the shedding of Christ's blood, there would be no salvation. Without the shedding of Jesus' blood, there would be no Good Friday. It is also Good Friday because on that Friday, Jesus finished the most difficult race in history. You and I stood condemned. You and I stood caught in our trespasses and sin with a certain penalty of death. We would have been eternally separated from God. All that changed on a hill in Jerusalem by the blood of the innocent one. That is the best news one could ever receive. And that is why it is Good Friday. After the rigged trials, the torturous, cruel, relentless beating, the insults, Jesus Christ carried his own cross down that rugged road to Calvary. He did it willingly, with every ounce of the energy and strength he had left, until it became too difficult to bear. And he fell. A man was ordered to help him. Once atop that hill called Calvary, also known as Golgotha, which means the skull, they laid the cross on the ground and stretched out the body of Jesus Christ on that cross. And as they put his back down on that cross, they would have ripped his arms from left to right as they put those nails in. And as they ripped his arms apart, it would have dislodged his shoulders. And as they put that cross into the ground, and as it would have come down with a jolt into position because of his dislocated shoulders, his body would have hung in immense pain, affecting his lungs to such a degree that it would be painful and almost unbearable to breathe every breath. And there he hung, our Savior. There he hung, for those who know him today, he's our closest friend. He wasn't guilty of anything. But the same could not be said for you and for me. And this is the hardest part for some of us this morning. Because ultimately it wasn't Rome who crucified him. Ultimately it wasn't the Jewish leader's decision. Ultimately, your sin and my sin and the sin of every person born and to be born put Jesus Christ on the cross. We ultimately crucified Jesus. He ultimately gave his love for us. The word says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Isn't that relentless love? That while we were sinners, he died for us. We, in our own humanity, we'll do something for a good person. We'll do something for someone who's on our team, who we like, who we get on with. He loved us before we loved him. He hung on that cross, bearing our shame and our guilt and our pain and our iniquities and our sicknesses and all our hang-ups. And he loved us, and he gave himself before we ever said the words, "Jesus, thank you, I love you." You see, friends, Calvary is God's divine reach. Calvary is the Lord himself saying, "I love you." Calvary is the Lord himself saying, "I want you." The God of heaven, the God of this universe, the God who could command and can command and still does command anything he wants because he is omnipotent, says, "I want you." That's what Calvary shows us. He says he wants you. The world may have rejected you. Your parents may have rejected you. You may have come into this life miraculously. I've seen children with scars on their bodies. They've survived a pregnancy termination. You may have had, like those children, all the odds against them. But Jesus says, "I want you. I accept you. I don't reject you. I died for you. Before you even knew me," he says, "before you even considered me, even when you rejected me, I loved you and I died for you." When we see Calvary, we see the cross. And when we see the cross, we see the love of God. And we sang that scripture, John 3:16 this morning, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. When we see the cross, we not only see the love of God, but we also see everything that God hates. Injustice, sin, brokenness. We also see everything that God is at war with. And we see the victory of Jesus. He took all our sin. He took every bondage. And he became our substitute. And he said, "It is finished." 1 Peter 2 verse 23 gives us the following. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. He entrusted himself to him who judges justly. When they scourged him, he did not retaliate. When the soldiers pushed down that crown of thorns upon his head, he didn't curse them. When they drove those nails through his hands and feet, he did not threaten them. When the bystanders spat at him, he did not spit back. When they swore at him, he spoke words of love. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." The suffering of Jesus was personal. He did it for you. He himself did it. He did it. No one else. He did it personally for you and for me. His suffering was substitutionary. He took our sin. He bore our sin. Everything that we were ever guilty of, anything we're guilty of now, anything we'll be guilty of in the future, he took our place. He bore our sin. His suffering was severe. His body was nailed to a tree. His suffering was redemptive, that we might die to sin and live for him. That's the gospel. That's the good news. We are dead to sin and we are alive in Christ. This is the crucifixion through the eyes of the resurrection. We're no longer wandering like those disciples. Is he going to rise again? It's clear. It's evidential. He rose from the dead. We can view, we are privileged to be able to view the cross from the standpoint of the resurrection. His suffering was healing. By his wounds, we are healed. His suffering was reconciling. We were like sheep without a shepherd. We were like sheep that had gone astray. But he is now the shepherd and the overseer of our souls. And then it happened. His final word. And if you weren't listening, you may have missed it. One word in Aramaic, tetelestai. It is finished. It is finished. He did not say, "I am finished." He said, "It is finished." This is a crucial understanding because it signifies the successful end to a specific course of action. It would be the word a successful voyager and climber of Mount Everest would use when they reach the peak. "I've accomplished my purpose. I've accomplished my goal. Tetelestai. It is finished." The word does not mean "I survived." The word means "I did exactly what I was meant to do." 1 Peter 2, verses 24 and 25. "He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you are like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and the overseer of your souls." He took our punishment. He paid the price for our sin. He gives us new life. He heals our hearts. He brings us back to God. The death of Jesus provided full satisfaction for sin. The death of Jesus provided a fatal blow to the enemy of our souls, Satan. The death of Jesus provided a fountain of grace that will flow forever. His fountain of grace flows forever. And the death of Jesus provided a foundation of peace with God that will last forever. 1 Peter 1:18 and 19. Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold, for your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Friday of Holy Week is called Good Friday, because without the shedding of blood, there would be no salvation. There is power in the blood of Jesus. There is power in the blood of Jesus. Whatever you are facing today, there is power in the blood of Jesus. This is the good news of Good Friday. This is why it is Good Friday. You know what life is like? It's often not the things we can see that we should fear. It's the unseen things sometimes that we need to be concerned about. An unseen cell in your body can take your body out. An airborne virus can be passed on and kill millions of people. Every human body has a fight system that fights for your good health. It's in your blood, and it's in your immune system. And Jesus knows that, and God designed it that way. We know that our body has both white and red blood cells. Our red blood cells go all through our body looking for any virus that would try and harm you. It's your blood that fights for your life every day. And it's the blood of Jesus that saves us every day. The Lord has also given us lymph nodes and bone marrow for our protection and to help ward off disease. God has these as defenses against everything that the enemy sends to attack us. In the same way, Christ's blood covers all our sins. And like the lymph nodes and bone marrow, his defense system is the Holy Spirit in our lives that operates in the same way. In conclusion, I'd like to leave you with a few thoughts of the power of the blood of Jesus, the reason why Good Friday is called Good Friday. It's not going to come up on the screen, so if you want it, you'll have to take notes. Number one, the blood of God Almighty flowed through Jesus. It's not just any blood that was shed for you. The body of Jesus came through Mary, but the blood comes from the Father. Christ's Father is Father God. It was the blood of God that was ultimately shed for every single one of us. And his blood still has the power today. When satanic attack comes, secondly, the blood of Jesus comes streaming through the same way it does in your physical body. Just like the blood works in our physical body, the blood of Jesus works effectively on our behalf when satanic attack comes. Thirdly, because of the blood of Jesus, we gain access to God. Hebrews 10:19. We have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus. That's why we can enter into the throne room of God. That is why we can worship freely. Not because of what we have done, not because of the songs we bring, but because of the blood of the Lamb. We can enter the throne room of God boldly. I'll bring you more than a song. It's about the blood. It's not about a song. Thirdly, I've already mentioned thirdly, we gain access. Fourthly, a powerful truth about the blood of Jesus. We have forgiveness of sin. Matthew 26, 28. For this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sin. Forgiveness of sins. It's the blood of the new covenant, a new day. I went to a Catholic primary school. All my Catholic friends used to go to confession. And they used to come out of confession and say, I'm holy. I'm pure. I said, just wait till lunchtime. It's a long wait from the end of lunch to your next confession. How many months? And how many more bits of penance will you have to do? I said, remember, six-year-old boy saying this to my friends, I'm covered in the blood of Jesus. All my sins are always forgiven. I don't have to wait for a man to say, go and sin no more. I have the blood of Jesus who gives me the power to sin no more. The blood of Jesus, fifthly, rescued us out of a sinful lifestyle. 1 Peter 1, 18 and 19. You were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. He's lifted us up. He's lifted us up from the miry clay, and he set our feet high upon a rock, and his name is Jesus. And his blood never fails. It cannot fail. And lastly, the power about the blood of Jesus, powerful truths. Number six, we are sanctified through the blood of Christ. Hebrews 13, 12. And so Jesus also suffered outside the city gates to make the people holy through his blood. He has made us holy through his blood. He has sanctified us. He has set us apart from sin. And he has set us apart to righteousness. He has made us holy. And it wouldn't be right, I know I said lastly, but we've got to end with this one. The power of the blood of Jesus will be what raises us up on that final day. When we are raised on that final day to meet Father God face to face, we'll be there and have access to heaven because of the blood of Jesus. See his nail-scarred hands. And his feet. See the cross. He did it for you and for me. Finally, biblically speaking, there is a place called heaven. And the blood of Jesus will assure that you get there. In the Bible, we see that there is both heaven and we see that there is a hell. Jesus spoke about it. And that on that great day of judgment, it will be all about whether or not we have received this free gift of salvation brought with the precious blood of Jesus. On this Good Friday, I leave you with one final question. What will you do with the blood of Jesus. Let us pray. To the Christians here, first of all, we're not born a Christian. That's why we need the resurrection, because we are born again. You know if you're born again, because you've invited Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. To the Christian here today, what does the blood of Jesus mean to you? Would you, in your heart of hearts, just say, thank you, Jesus, for the cross. And thank you for your blood that sets me free. I am redeemed. I am sanctified. Not because of me, but because of Jesus. Take a moment to do that now. We thank you for your great love for us, Lord. We thank you that we are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Help us to never lose our appreciation for Jesus. Help us never to lose the wonder of all that Jesus has done personally for us. And help us live lives sanctified through the blood of Christ. While every eye is closed and head is bowed, if you've not made that decision for Jesus, or maybe you know that you haven't been following him the way you should be, my big question to you is exactly the same. What will you do with the blood of Jesus? Jesus taught on heaven and hell. Jesus taught on living a life of his kingdom, yeah, on this earth. Jesus taught about being born again. He spoke to Nicodemus in John chapter 3. Unless you're born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. That's not religious speak. That's Jesus speaking. We're born of this world, of natural means, but we're also born of supernatural means, by accepting Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Our sins are forgiven. Folks, there is a hell to plunder and a heaven to populate. And we all stand before the Lord one day, God Almighty, as our judge. This is why Jesus died, one of the reasons. To save you, to set us free, so we are covered by the blood of the Lamb, so that God Almighty is not some distant force out there somewhere, but he becomes our loving Heavenly Father. While every eye is closed and head is bowed, if you would like to commit yourself, either a recommitment or a first-time commitment, I'm going to lead you in a brief prayer, and it's an easy prayer. It's A, B, C. A is for admit. Lord, I admit that I'm a sinner. B is for believe. Jesus, I believe in you, that you died on the cross and rose from the dead. And C is for confess. I confess Christ to be my Lord and Savior. And seeing this is Good Friday, I'm not going to embarrass anyone. Not only because it's Good Friday, I'm not going to embarrass anyone. I never embarrass anyone in church. But seeing it's Good Friday, I'm going to ask us to be slightly braver than usual at this point. And I'm going to ask us to pray that prayer out loud. If you feel you can't pray it, that's fine. But I'd like every Christian also to pray it, to encourage those who are praying it as a recommitment or for the first time. Could we pray that now? Just pray this with all your heart after me and say, dear Jesus, I admit that I'm a sinner. I admit that I'm a sinner. I believe you died for me. I believe you died for me. I believe you rose again. I believe you rose again. Today I confess Christ. Today I confess Christ. Please come into my life and make me a child of God by the blood of Jesus, in Jesus' name. Please keep our eyes closed in this holy moment and heads bowed. If you prayed that prayer, either as a recommitment to the Lord or for the first time, I'd like to just remember you in my prayers during the week. Would you indicate that you prayed that prayer either as a recommitment or for the first time by slipping up your hand and taking it down again? God bless you. God bless you. You can put your hands down. Thank you. Anybody else this morning? God bless you. Lord, I thank you for these precious people who have raised their hands to you. They've responded to your call. They've responded to your gospel. And I now pray for the power of the Lord, the power of the Holy Spirit, to seal their salvation and to keep them strong. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Folks, it's just gone 12 o'clock. We've got about a minute to go. We've kept it to an hour. I would like to